Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you with our study in the book of Romans. I just sincerely hope that you're having the joy of reading the Word of God that we have at times. You know, it's an amazing thing how the more you read, the more you want to read. The less you read, the less desire you have for it. And in the book of Romans, we have the revelation of the righteousness of God to men. And we're dealing in this first chapter from verse 18 on to the end of the chapter, the fact that the Gentile world doesn't have any righteousness. Now, he's got to prove that. He has just said in chapters 1, verses 16 to 17, that the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. But the folly of this man Paul writing about the righteousness of God when men believe they have some of their own. So his task from 1:18 to 3:20 is to prove Jew and Gentile, the moralist and the religionist, what have you, all men need righteousness. For you remember in the 51st Psalm, God looked over the children of men, and behold, they were all gone out of the way. They were unprofitable, they were unrighteous, and none doing any good. That's the way God looked at them. You see, there's only one righteousness in the universe, and that is God's. And until we see that, and then to see that we have none of our own, then possibly we will accept the divine provision, some good news from God, that he has made the provision not only to put away sin, but also to provide righteousness for everyone who will accept Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Yes, friend, that's for you too. For you too. Now I read here in verses 18 to 20 that man has no excuse. We were following this through in our last lesson, speaking of the fact that the gospel is a revelation not only of the righteousness of God, but also of the wrath of God. It's revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness of men. And they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And God has made himself known to man. You see, I don't care what part of the world you go to, men know this. God has revealed himself to them. You take, for example, the next verse. Why? How has God revealed himself to man? Even before Christ? Yes, before Christ. Listen to it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Creation was man's first Bible. Now, when you and I speak of the Bible, of the Scriptures, we think immediately of the revelation of Jesus Christ to men as a Savior. That's true. But what about the world before Jesus Christ came? What about the world in its sin and shame and its idolatry and corruption down through the centuries? What about them? Well, I read here that God had given them a Bible, and that was creation. Even if they knew nothing about writing or books, God revealed himself through creation. Take, for example, the 19th Psalm, first four verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge, and there is no place, where the voice of creation is not heard. It's what Paul here is writing. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. That is, men down through the centuries, whether they had a Bible or not, whether they ever heard of Christ or not, the heathen today who've never heard the name of Jesus, never seen a Bible, they are responsible to worship their Creator, the one who has made them and made the universe. You take Acts chapter 14. Do you remember the Apostle Paul and Barnabas went down to a place called Iconium and Derbe, Lystra? I think it was at Lystra where they were. And they healed a man, and they thought that these two men, Paul and Barnabas, were Jupiter and Mercurius. They called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercurius. And the priests of the town were going to come out with garlands, and it was sacrifices. They were going to drag their animals out and offer sacrifices to these two men. They said, why, the gods have come down to us in the form of men, and they're going to worship them. And you remember Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes and ran among them saying, we're just men of like passions like you. And God left not himself without witness. You should worship the living God who sends us seed time and harvest and crops and so on in creation. You take the Apostle Paul when he was down at Athens talking to these philosophical Athenians. What did he talk about? Creation. God hath given to all men life and breath and all things. What for? That they might feel after God and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being. And your own poets have said we are the offspring of God. And don't you for one moment think that the Godhead is like unto stone or wood carved by man's device. God is not like the images you make. You should worship the God who made you. Say, there's no excuse. We have it here. God hath showed himself unto them. He has made himself known to them. And there is no excuse for man's ungodliness down through the centuries. There's no excuse for yours. You've got to deal with a living God, one who not only framed the ages and made the world and holds all things by the word of his power. But man is without excuse. In fact, when I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I read that God is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, even in the early centuries, before Christ and after Christ, these men, for example, like Plato and Aristotle and Cicero, all these men write about a supreme creator. They read about this in creation. They saw his power. They saw his Godhead. But what did they do? They went and worshiped the gods. They ignored the one who made them. He was made known through creation. Man did not sin through lack of knowledge, but in spite of that knowledge, man had the light, but he rejected it. And in spurning him, they lost sin consciousness. That means sin wasn't sin to them anymore. This is the history of man, by the way, not only in the first century, but in the 20th century. How do you account for what goes on today in the world? Take the last two world wars we had. You talk about cruelty, sadism. Especially in nations that were supposed to be the elite, scholastic nations of the world, were just as cruel, just as sadist as some of the wild tribes of South America or Africa. No. The more we see ourselves as sinners, the more we will want Christ to be our Savior. And I want this thing to be very, very clear to you, my friend. He said, well, Mr. Mitchell, I believe in the God of creation, but I don't know how to reach him. I believe there's a God. I believe he's made everything. As I see the handiwork of God in the heavens, I can't but believe there's a living God, there's a creator. Whatever you want to call him, but he's a creator. He's made everything. We set our watches by the stars. Stars sweeping through the heavens at unbelievable speeds. and God takes care of the whole business, you ought to worship him. I don't know how, you say. How can I know God? My friend, will you give me a minute? John 1:18. Have you got that scripture? John 1:18. Jesus said, "No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." He could say to Philip, one of his disciples, in John 14:8-9, "Philip, have I been so long time with you, and don't you know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." God has made himself known to the world through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, some of you folk are going to say, "Well, what about those who've never heard of Jesus? What about their responsibility?" They are responsible to worship their Creator. I sat down with some tribal people in North Thailand, the Miao people. And I asked them, when they heard the story of Jesus, I said, "Have you ever heard that before?" They said, "No." "What do you think of it?" "Oh, it's wonderful if it's true." Now, these women worshipped evil spirits. Why didn't they worship the God who created them? Paul is saying, and Paul is talking to the pagan world when he writes this, "The invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Then he turns in verses 21 to 32, and he takes up the terrible sinfulness of the Gentiles. And listen, we do not see here this teaching of evolution, but rather degeneration. Not the progress of knowledge of God, but the progress of evil. For example, look at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." They first of all knew God. Man is not evolving to the place where he's going to know God. No. Man first of all knew God. Then he didn't glorify him as God. In fact, afterwards you have what? We have men who are polytheistic, worship all the gods that men have created. But first, man first of all knew God. He knew he was responsible to God. And in the fourth chapter of Genesis, when Cain went out from the presence of God, he started a world. He tried to make this world a fit place to live without God. And it's been going on ever since. In this city where I live, the city where you live, there are thousands of people who don't want God in their lives. They just don't want him. It's not that they're ignorant. It's because they know they must stand in the presence of a righteous God. And because of that, they would rather not hear. They would rather not be stirred up. They would rather not be convicted of their sin. And hence, they have no time for Jesus. They will not accept the good news concerning God's Son. Now let's look at this. You remember Jesus said, if I may just quote a couple of passages before we take it up. You remember the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, when he said, "Out of the heart of man, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications." And he gives you 13 of the ugly brood in the heart of man that comes out. When you come to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, what do we read? "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And he gives you either 21 and or 19 of the ugly brood, 19 of the sins that comes out of the heart, your heart and my heart. and the heart of everyone born into the world. For my friend, whether you like it or not, we were born in sin. We were children of wrath like the rest, unrighteous and unholy. And either we were filled with our own self-righteousness, we were filled with outbroken sin. Now let's look at the degeneration, 21 to 23. It's a sad picture. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and to quadrupeds, and to creeping things, wherefore God gave them up. You'll notice, even in their sinfulness, they go down instead of up. Here you have their degeneration. There's a negative side, there's a positive side. Negatively, they did not glorify him as God. They became unthankful. They became puffed up. They were godless and thankless. And having stopped the worship of God, soon God became unknown to them. We have these all around us today. They misused the knowledge they had, and they became puffed up. Men became independent of God, and hence became vain in his reasonings. And then you have the positive side, 22 to 23. Professing himself to be wise, he became a fool. And the proof of their folly, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, and even in their worship, you have degeneration. They, first of all, they worship God as a man, then as a bird, then as a quadruped, then as a creeping thing. And God gave them up. What is God like? An animal? No. A bird? No. Creeping things? No. He's just like Jesus, the sinless one, the righteous one. You see, man became a fool. He turned his back on the revelation of God, refused to have God in his knowledge, and so we see, of course, declension and degeneration. Not only in the things that he was thinking, but in his actions. Degeneracy. You take some of the gods of the Orient, gods of South America, of Africa, the hideous, the sensual, and the heart of man is revealing their gods. You go to India with all their gods, hideous things. Why? Because they are the product of hearts that are sinful. You see, the only image of the invisible God is Jesus Christ, as you have it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. And again I say, if you want to know God, you must find him in Jesus Christ. Do you want to know God? Do you really, really, really want to know God? Do you know what the God of creation is like? Do you know what God is like? Do you want to know if God has some real interest in you? Do you mean business? God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, his Son. Rule that revelation out, my friend, and you have no revelation of God. I'm saying that very frankly. I'm kind of blunt about it, kind of dogmatic about it, but it's true. Rule out your Bible. Rule out Jesus Christ, and you have absolutely no revelation of God. What is he like? Thank God there is a revelation. And this revelation is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I would urge upon you to put your trust in him and pass from death to life. you do it today.